This may be the most important word you hear this year. This may be the most important sermon that I teach this year. These verses are gold.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, everyone, and welcome. Pastor Bill's study from the Epistle of 2 Corinthians continues today. And Pastor has entitled this next message, Where is Your Spiritual Authority? Let's listen in now.
Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. We're going to be in chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and then shortly we'll begin in verse 7. Remember that chapters 10 through 13, as we go through this epistle, which is, to me, one of the greatest epistles. Of course, all of Paul's epistles are incredible. Romans, of course, who can outdo Romans? But this epistle, which reveals his heart more than any other. So if you'll notice, remember from last time, as we entered chapter 10, man, there was just like an abrupt change. We went from rejoicing and the joy of generosity and the Corinthians repenting of their sin and turning their hearts back toward Paul, away from the false teachers. And then when we start chapter 10, there's an abrupt change. And that's because all of a sudden, instead of Paul addressing the things that are going to be happened, he addresses now the false teachers. So these last chapters in this epistle are very, very important. And there's a pocket, if you will, of these, I call them merchandisers, man. They're not ministers, they're merchandisers. And there's a small rebellious pocket that is there. And so Paul, once again, these last remaining chapters, he is going to be defending his ministry, his apostolic authority. Now, this morning, loved one, listen to me. I know that these verses, verse 7 through 18, I know that many, I don't know how many pastors, and I'm certainly not saying they would, but I would say that most pastors would not venture to teach verses 7 through 18 in a Sunday morning setting. To me, that is most negligent. Not I'm condemning anyone, but to me, these verses that we're about to study are the most important verses almost in 2 Corinthians. You would do well to open your heart right now. Even though we look at it and on the surface we'd go, you know, you might say at first glance, Bill, there's not anything here. Paul is just continuing his defending himself against these false teachers. And I know that on the surface maybe you look at it and say, there's not really any doctrine here, but that's wrong. There are some, a few, of the deepest truths found in the New Testament right here. Man, this could be, and it might be, not that I'm going to teach it well or it's going to be eloquent or any of those things, because you both know I don't do either of those. However, this may be the most important word you hear this year. This may be the most important sermon that I teach this year. These verses are gold. They're literally diamonds, if you will, the deep, deep truths about our spiritual authority, and yes, it is in related to the spiritual warfare that we covered last Sunday as well. But this morning, as we look at our text, we're going to find or answer two very important questions, and let me read them to you. Number one, how do we use, the believer, you, me, how do we use our God-given spiritual authority? Second question, where is our God-given authority, our spiritual authority, found? I want you to look in your Bible with me to verse 13 in our text, if I can find it here, verse 13, where he writes and he says, We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God has appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you, meaning the church at Corinth. That scripture is one that you need to have when we get to it. Embedded in your hearts, okay? Living in your hearts. Let's pray one more time. Father, we thank you for our text this morning. We thank you for the word that you have exalted above your very own name. And Father, may just a holy whirlwind of your anointing rush into this place. Father, once again, open our hearts to receive this great truth. In Jesus' name we pray, we all say, all right, let's find out where is spiritual authority found beginning in verse 7. Paul writes now, and he says, do not look at things. Boy, that's a big challenge, isn't it? Do not look at things, how? According to the outward appearance. Let me give you another translation from William's translation. You look at me and measure me by outward appearances. Paul is now addressing the false teachers who are making all of these lies about him. And what we're learning here is this. We must today, more than ever before, walk in spiritual discernment. And the reason is the things that we look at out there, the workplace, in college, in school, in our daily lives, in department stores, the grocery, wherever we are, those outward things that we see might not really appear what they really are. Does that make sense? It's so easy to look and not understand what you're seeing and immediately make a judgment. Boy, that's when spiritual discernment is so important, because things outside of us, although they look and they say, well, that's what it is, that may not be what it is. You see, the false teachers, remember, they're merchandisers. They're not ministers. They're experts in greed. And if we went and studied out, I think it's 2 Corinthians, I don't know, 5:12, right in that area, they boasted in the externals, what could be seen. They did not boast in the internals, meaning the heart, the things that could not be seen. And that's what's so important. So in context, what they're doing, they're cutting down Paul. And they're saying, you know, Paul, your outward appearance, I mean, you look kind of weak to me. If we went down to verse 10, it would say, you know what, your letters are heavy and they're weighty and, you know, and all the rest of it. And he said, but you know what, the way you preach and all the rest, it's contemptible, or literally, it's just no account, Paul. You're not really anything at all. Satan is alive and well on planet Earth, isn't he? And you know what he wants you to do? He wants you to misuse your God-given spiritual discernment and your God-given spiritual authority. You see, the reason that he wants you to misuse it is because it will take you away from the divine assigned area that God wants you to be in. And not only that, he wants you to always discern in the flesh. In other words, outwardly. He doesn't want you to discern inwardly, meaning by the Spirit of God. And that's why that's so important. The devil never wants you to use our spiritual weapons, which are heavenly. He wants us to use those carnal weapons, if you will. He wants us to fight against flesh and blood instead of not fighting against flesh and blood, which we're commanded. You know, we don't see him, but he is real. Amen? Now, with all that being said, the Scripture is teaching us not to look at outward circumstances, outward situations, and people in general. You see, yes, look at them, but if you're going to look at them, then judge the right way. And the only way that we can do that is to judge with spiritual discernment. You see, when you look only at things, you can look at it, and there could be a false measurement, it could be a wrong judgment, and so forth. Jesus said this in John 7:24. He says, do not judge according to appearance. Isn't that hard to do? Don't do that to me. You know, old as I am, I could faint or something. You know, I need to know you're out there. I can't see but past three rows, you know? No, listen. Yes, it's hard. It says, Jesus said, do not judge according to appearance. But that's the way the world judges, isn't it? I mean, we look and just, there it is right there. But the problem is that, see, we can look at something, but we don't have all the facts. We don't know the heart. We don't know the intent. We don't know anything, the motivation about another person. Only God, only the Spirit of God has all the facts. Amen? Yeah, so, you know, the problem is that we, from the time we were born, we grew up and we were trained, we trained ourselves, if you will, to our thinking to judge by sight. Well, now we're born again. We don't have to judge by sight. We can judge by the Spirit. Is that okay? That's what we need to do. See, if we don't judge correctly, it could lead to a very wrong judgment. For example, you remember whenever King Saul, God rejected him, and God called Samuel, go to Jesse's house, and when you get there, look at every one of his sons and take the anointing oil and so forth. I'm choosing a brand new king. And it says about David, it says in 1 Samuel 16:7, but the Lord said to Samuel, here it is, do not look at his appearance. Now, there's all those seven sons or eight sons of Jesse. Don't look at their height. He says, God says, because I have refused him, for the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord, he looks at the heart. See, Samuel was looking for another King Saul. Remember how Saul was taller than any of his people and so forth, handsome and so forth. So whenever Jesse's boys were coming by him, he'd go, oh, that's got to be it. That's got to be the one. And God kept saying, no, not that one. No, not that one. No, not that one. You remember the story. Yeah, because why? God's qualifications for the people he selects are not outward. Boy, look at that guy. He is so cool. Got that Rolex. Nothing wrong with the Rolex. Man, look at those heart shafter marks and Alan Edmonds shoes. Man, he is, and you know, you look and say, that guy's got it together. Then you come to Calvary Chapel. And you go, man, look at those flip-flops. I've never seen so many ponytails in my life. We're at a motorcycle convention. I've never seen so many tats. Oh, you know. Okay. No, you have to be careful. See, God chose a man. The Lord even called David and said, oh, no, I'm choosing him for myself, a man after my very own heart. Oh, to be chosen like that by God, when he looks not at what we have outside, but what we are inside, and says, I want her, I want him. Oh, listen, the Bible says in Proverbs 27:19, as in water reflects face, it says, so a man's heart reveals the man. We are not to look at things according to the outward appearance. You remember whenever the battle, when King Saul was there in the field and David's brothers and all of that, and Goliath had appeared. It says in 1 Samuel 17:33, and Saul said to David, because David came up, remember, and he says, I can take on this giant. He goes, oh, you're not able to go against Goliath to fight with him. You're just a youth. You're just a little boy. And he, meaning Goliath, he's a man of war from his youth. King Saul looked only at what he could see outwardly. He had no spiritual discernment at all. Even David's brother did the same thing. And you know what? Even Goliath was guilty of just looking and judging that way. It says in 1 Samuel 17:44, so the Philistine, meaning Goliath, he came, and boy, as he began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him, and when Goliath looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth. He was only a teenager, ruddy and good-looking. And so the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with these sticks? In other words, remember the five little stones that David had? He says, and Goliath cursed David. David showed up. He tried on Saul's armor. That wouldn't work. Didn't fit him. He didn't have a sword. He had no armor. He just had those little bitty stones. But what did David do? David didn't look at Goliath. He looked to the unseen. He looked to God. Goliath looked at what could be seen. Do you understand? He looked at David and said, I'm going to beat this little teenage boy, ruddy and good looking. He's going to be ruddy when I'm finished with him. Do you understand? Yeah, that's what Goliath did. No, listen, but you know the rest of the story. Goliath lost his head. Look at verse 7 again. Do you look at things according to the outward appearance, or do not? If anyone is confident, or if anyone is convinced in himself that he is in Christ, let him again consider this in himself, that just as he is Christ, even so we are Christ. Now, what is he saying? He's saying, you know what? You guys, you false teachers, you better look deep into your heart, because you work for the devil. You're deceitful workers. You've transformed yourself into a minister of righteousness, and that's not true at all. Paul says, you have to have a personal conviction about Jesus Christ. He has to be the Lord of your life. Now listen, true spiritual authority is only to those who know the Lord, who are walking with the Lord. That's what Paul is saying here. Listen, these false teachers, they didn't plant one church, no record of it at all. Paul did. No, you know what they did? They stole churches. They didn't make one convert like Paul. You know what they did? They were like savage wolves, speaking perverse things, that came in to steal the sheep, that came in to draw disciples after themselves. That's what the false teachers did. They were Jesus namers. They were not Jesus followers. Whew, that's a bad place. Boy, only those who deny themselves and take up their crosses, Jesus said, and follow him daily. Those are the ones who exercise true spiritual authority. Verse 8, watch this now. For even if I should boast somewhat about our authority, and look who that authority comes from, which the Lord gave us. Why? Well, for the edification and not for destruction, I shall not be ashamed. Listen, spiritual authority, those who really walk today, every believer, you have a spiritual authority. You're ambassadors for Christ. You've been given the ministry of reconciliation. You've even been told to go into all the world. Now, with all that being said, when we walk in that authority that God has given unto us, we make an impact. We make an impact not only in the world, we make an impact in the church. That word destruction there means to tear down. What did Paul the apostle do? He used his true God-given spiritual authority to build up the church, to build up the Christian. These false teachers who were tares among wheat, what did they do? They came in like wolves and they were tearing the church completely apart. They were stealing the sheep and so forth. Listen, true Christians, they don't destroy other people. They don't even want to destroy other people. They love other people. They love their enemies. They love those that God loves. Amen? Because the love of God lives in our hearts. Loved one, listen, we don't destroy, we don't tear down, we build up, we edify. And that's what God has called us to do. You see, love never fails. That's what it says right behind me. And that's the truest word in the world. Love truly never fails. It doesn't always win, but it never, ever fails. It says in 1 Corinthians 8:1, Paul says this, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up, or love edifies. See, a Christian can be very, very mature in knowledge and very immature in the agape or the love of God. You know, a Christian can be very strong, man, in doctrine. They know God's word backwards and forwards, but you can use it harshly unless you're walking in love. Amen? Yes. You see, the fact of the matter is that knowledge is just an emotion. You know, it doesn't have feelings. You know, it's emotionless. It doesn't have feelings. Love does. See, love is superior to knowledge. Love is greater than knowledge. You remember that if you're going to walk in true spiritual authority, then you have to be mastered what you do. You master it by love. And the reason, as I just said, is because love is greater than knowledge. Remember 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 and following? Paul said, you know, if I could solve all mysteries, you know, if I had all knowledge over and over, knew everything about everything, but if I didn't have love, the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts, he said, I am absolutely nothing. Look at it again on verse 8 at the end. Paul says, I shall not be ashamed, here it comes, lest I seem to terrify you by letters. Now, that's another accusation by the false teachers. For his letters, they say, that's the false teachers again, they say, oh, Paul's letters, they're weighty and powerful. And don't take that as a compliment. That's not, okay? And his bodily present, oh, it's just weak. And his speech, his preaching, in other words, it's just no account. Paul says, okay, let such a person consider this, that what we are inward by letters, when we are absent, such we will also be indeed when we are present. In other words, Paul saying, you know what? I may not be with you, but I will be soon. I am the same Paul when I'm absent from you as when I'm going to be with you. I'm not a yo-yo Christian. I don't morph. When you don't see me, I don't morph into something else. I'm a true believer, he says. He says, for we do not dare, watch this, dare class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. Now, this is the false teachers. And he goes, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, they're not wise. They lack understanding. Paul says they're foolish. Now, here when we look at these false teachers, how you measure spiritual authority, the false teachers, that is a false measurement, okay? Man, they're in trouble. And what they were doing, they were measuring themselves by themselves, meaning they set up their own standards, their own religious standards, and they demanded the same standards be put on everyone else. They elevated themselves. Beware, loved one, of anyone, a pastor, Christian, evangelist, I don't care who they are, who constantly validate their ministry or who constantly elevate their ministry and who speak more of self than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You need to be very careful about that. because they're walking in a false comparison and a false measurement. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:2, let another man praise you and not your own words, a stranger, and not your own lips. There is only one perfect standard, one perfect measure for every Christian. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He is our perfect example in all that we do. You know, we can be so in trouble at times. We've got to be so wise, loved one. You know, whenever Jesus, the seven letters to the seven churches that he sent, I mean, you know, they thought themselves pretty good. You know what I mean? All of them. But every one of them had a false condition. And so what did Jesus give them? He gave them the true measurement of who they really were. He told the church at Sardis in Revelation 3:1, he said, you know what? You have a name that you are alive. Man, you're on fire. You got a name. Everybody says you're on fire, revival. All this is happening. And Jesus said, you're dead. You're dead. Your worship is dead. Your giving is dead. Your serving is dead. Everything you do is dead. You're nothing more than a corpse. I would not want Jesus to write that about us, would you? No. So we have to be very wise about that. Now, we enter into the word, the sermon that we need to hear right now. Verse 13, once again, I pray that you study it, that you memorize it. I pray that you ponder this incredible passage and all the rest that we're going to cover. He says here, we, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere, say that word, sphere, which God appointed, not Paul, God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you, meaning the church at Corinth. Now, here's the true measurement. Verse 13 is vital that you get this into your heart. It's a very important word. That word in the Greek, beyond measure, okay, belongs exclusively to Paul in the New Testament. None of the other apostles or writers use it. Only Paul. This word is so important that translators and commentators, they've strained to translate this word. Let me give you just a few of the definitions of what beyond measure means, okay? Let me read them to you. First, it could be a measuring line, a sphere, and that's the word Paul used, a field. It's also used as like a lane in a race that a person would be going down. The limit or the jurisdiction, territorial schedule or allotted assignment to an individual, regional or an area of responsibilities, and one that I really like, designated territory. Very, very important word, this word sphere and beyond measure. Now listen, what was Paul's limit? God placed a limit on Paul, okay? What was Paul's limit? Thank you. Only to the Gentiles was he sent. He washed his hands in front of the Jews and said, I'm through with you guys. I'm going to the Gentiles. Why? He was an apostle to the Gentiles. Peter, what was Peter's sphere or his designated territory? To the Jews. There you go. And that's what we're talking about here. Listen, when we look at this, Paul is saying, I want to tell everyone then and now, I was living, I was serving in the designated, the God-given designated territory or sphere that God placed me in that was appointed for me. Now listen, our limit, we do have a limit. See, it says to go into all the world. Well, what part of the world are we to go into? Do you understand? We can't, we have to be, God tell us, and then, okay, that's how we do it. See, our limit is the appointed sphere. It is the designated territory, loved one, which God has appointed for you, for me, to serve him and to labor in. Are you in that? That is so important. That is so vital.
Once again, we are out of time, but no worries. You can hear the conclusion to this message on Love Never Fails tomorrow. And we trust you'll tune in once again. Thanks, everyone, for listening today. Be blessed, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.